So here we are on the book Little H, February 1974, still in Wisconsin, going on up to August of the same year. So it starts off with Liz's tryptophan label experiment. This is the beginning of a book, Little Age, and here the first experiments are in relation to experiments which Liz Friedlander was doing to test the segregation of histones with DNA. I had had at some stage in that period a hypothesis that, as I explained before, that histones and the orientation of histones in DNA chromatin might be important in conveying information, and Liz had been interested in looking at the distribution of chromatin-associated proteins. So a paper that was eventually published by her and Lon Teichman and myself in 1977 was concerned with this, a non-random distribution of chromosomal proteins during cell replication. But these then back in 1974 are some of the experiments related to that paper and to the idea that I had in my head. And so there's a schedule there set up by Liz and using a Chinese hamster over itself, presumably, though it doesn't actually say that. They adding cells. So initially with tritiated thymidine and tritiated tryptophan in the other experiments. And then cochumid to get mitoses and looking at slides and so forth. So this is trying to look at the chromosomes from cells are labelled in different ways. For example, on page 8, there's from Lawn, shake off the metaphase and decant, etc., and pellet and combine and remove the supernatant, etc., etc. So the first metaphase chromosomes are being considered on page 11. And then on page 13, isolation of second metaphase chromosomes. On Wednesday, spread about 20 slides and labelled them S13. Third and fourth metaphase on page 17. some comments on Thursday, February 21st, four plus 40 chromosome, Labour 4 plus moderate quality, three rather poor, 3T plus 5T virtually useless, etc., and five adequate. Notes of Lawn on what was happening on the following page, and then a an insert what had obviously been a cyclostyled reproduction of typewritten instructions on autoradiography. Treatment with radioactive thymidine, etc., dipping methods and equipment for the auto radiography. Interesting to see some cyclostyle material, because that was the basis of Ed Southern's development of Southern blots, was because of his knowledge of this method of reproducing copies of material, quite good quality. Reproduction all in blue. Friday, February 22nd, that's page 23. Continuing the dip of the sets, the slides, and so on. They were dipped into the emulsion and left for some long period of time. Third and fourth the chromosomes, Friday 22nd, etc. Unfortunately, on the opposite page, page 26, check the final product. Extremely poor, hardly any two arms, and needing to see the two arms of the chromosome. Charlie Heidelberger, comment on 10 millimolar tryptophan general label doesn't know W going to bases directly, might exchange, etc. Some comments. Thinks we're okay. Agrees that relief of block for 1 hour should secure it. Whatever that means. But talking to Charlie Heidelberger. A lysine label on Monday, February 24th. Talking about blocking DNA replication with thymidine, decided thymidine block is too unsafe for base synthesis, and so we'll relieve the block for about 1 hour before labeling. Rather complicated set of experiments. A DNA in nuclei on February 25th. And continuing. For example, on Tuesday, February 26th, followed by Thursday, at 8:30 a.m., harvested, very low yield indeed. Probably they were stationary, since I forgot to use half seed level, etc. to get good crumbs on spreads. And Friday, March, the first, Liz thinks they're developing a field. Developed number two, H1 Essentials, still looks bad, but continue and re-dip. Results Saturday of H1 experiment, a 6 day exposure. Definitely, definite asymmetry and some half label. Not as good as 7, etc. Number 9, 89, no chromosomes. H1 Friday, March 18, 13 days. So, not easy experiments. A new tryptophan experiment being considered on Monday, March 4th. Repeat once again, but concentrate on second and third metaphase. Often we are talking about days later than the experiment was done. Wednesday, March 6th, developed a 5 day exposure of the lysine label experiment, second metaphase. Extremely heavy and dirty preparation, etc. Conclusion, wait to 10 days for the next development and treat with this and that and the other. This type of experiment just being continued. Our chromosomes are from H49 experiment, H57, on Saturday, March 9th, etc. Some, in parentheses, few usable in both preparations, a spread. Difference between whether a tube should be a plastic tube or a glass tube being worried about on page 60. The constant interest of mine on what sticks to various plastics or glass or in some cases petroleum jelly, petrolatum, used to make non-sticky surfaces. I've been constantly aware of that throughout my experimental career. New harvesting methods thought about on Friday, March 15th. And continuing and with this, trying to get a decent chromosome. For example, on page 70, one, the arms are close, but many singles of good quality. Two, rather badly clumped, etc. Three, probably worse than two. Four, some usable but scarce. A few small usable arms close on five, doubtful, a few on six. 7 clumps, but enough single arms apart. 8 arms fine, more clumps than usual. These are different treatments in spreading. How to look at the sample. For example, on page 73, foggy with dirt slides can be scanned quickly using 16x oil and number 3 diaphragm, dark field, etc., and then direct to 100x and no diaphragm change, etc. How to look at the results. More pages and pages of the same type of work. Friday, March 29th, a BUDR experiment to check which mitosis we have reached, plus or minus the label, etc. More careful check on Saturday, March 30th. With the conclusion that the triturated thymidine, the triturated tryptophan is too high. Going back to lambda phage again on April 15th, Monday. Back to lambda bacteria phage or lambda plasmid on 84, 80, page 85, that's to say, again looking for cells in which lambda was replicated but not lysed. Until we wanted to lyse them, so taking the cell and adding lysozyme, buffer and magnesium and so on to isolate the DNA. Cindy did this experiment. That may probably be Cindy Shinnick, probably. Cindy did this experiment and obtained about 80 milligrams of croup powder. Pronaeus Digest gave many linear large DNA molecule and about 1/20 of circles, but even some fields with 2 circles suggest some endonuclease. So try to digest again using high EDTA and pronase at 60 degrees. And the results no better, could be worse. Try proteinase K. Here's the first note I have of Byron Ballou. Byron, this is Friday, May 3rd. Byron made urea 0248 molar urea protease K and pronase. That's probably proteinase K, it should have been. Digestive hemoglobin under the same conditions, etc. Conclusion, not much digestion. Page 89, lambda DV circles can be added to digest as controls for endonucleases. And Byron is labeling experiments, carrying out labeling experiments with HeLa cells on page 91, Monday, May 27th. Using herfirsine, looking for cell survival of HeLa cells under various conditions, and using fluorescein diacetate, acyl fluorescein, P37 recipe to look for living cell and dead cell. Talking to Harry Eagle about labelling of HeLa cell with notes on the pages attached. Harry Eagle, in parentheses by phone, recommends use all essential amino acids at greater than or equal to 0.05 millimolar. Tenth usual, etc., etc. And a new HeLa cell from Jane Hubert's on Friday, May 31st. Something from Dave, some comments from written in Magic Marker, MDP, Dave Pulick, 100 micrograms per mil of beta 2 microglobulin. Put through a column. It says 50 microliters labelled at time, but it doesn't say what labelled, what it was the label. But anyway, the aim was to precipitation of beta-2M and congeners, page 99, Friday, June 21st, aim to precipitate beta 2 microglobulin and HLA / beta 2 microglobulin from cell cultures. And dissolve and separate the subunits for sequencing. Use rabbit anti beta 2M or / goat anti rabbit IgG and test with 120i125 label beta 2M recovery. So this was experiments with beta 2 microglobulin, but the reason for doing these experiments is not stated. It must have been radioactive thymidine or test with iodine I-125 beta 2 microglobulin, which I must have got from Dave Pooley. Anyway, these are experiments of that type. Trying to isolate beta 2 microglobulin labeled in different ways. these experiments may have been related to the attempt to map the gene coding for beta 2 microglobulin, which was a later publication of which I was part, and I'll look that up. So now we're coming to Monday, June 24th, day after my birthday, page 105, page 104, in labeling beta 2 microglobulin. Whether this was related to a later publication 2 years later of assigning beta 2 microglobulin to human chromosome 15 with Raju Kuchalapati, I'm not quite sure what the purpose of labeling the beta 2 microglobulin was at this point, but it may become clear. So this was I-125 labeling of beta 2 microglobulin with two labels from Byron, that's presumably Byron Ballou, cells and supernatant of isoleucine labeled beta 2 microglobulin tritiated, and then antibody, etc., etc., and adding iodine. Adding this is just adding simple iodide to what at that time was a standard method of labeling with I-125, which I don't remember anymore. So I got iodine counts of 1724 times 50 and tritiated counts of 69103 times 50. With ARGG, alanine, arginine, glycine, glycine peptide, presumably. And also another peptide, GARGG. So ARGG and GARGG. And then there was a servo polypropylene tubes centrifuging at 10,000 RPM, getting precipitates. Precipitates can be decanted, but then separate from the wall, etc., etc. Precipitates very gelatinous. Dave couldn't solubilize them even in 10% SDS chloral hydrate, 80% formic. It's talked about. So the conclusion from all this. And it is talked about on June 25th, non-specific effects are very large and increase with the amount of NRS versus anti-beta-2 microglobulin. I imagine NRS is normal rabbit serum. Question due to complement, etc., etc. Some various schemes about what to try to do better. And clear from typical, they pool it results that all the iodine-124 beta-2 microglobulin kinds are not bindable. So this was an attempt to get radioactive beta-2 microglobulin, I think, to give to Dave Pooling for some experiment. Clear that anti-beta-2 microglobulin is much diluted or otherwise odd, and no precipitate with ARGG at any of the dilutions. I don't know why I expected precipitation with ARGG, if that's a peptide. A comment that only 20% of the I-125 is precipitable and should be more than 80% to be useful. A rehydration of the anti-beta-2 microglobulin with ARGG. ARGG is evidently not what I think, because goat ARGG, anti-rabbit gamma globulin, that's what it is. So GARGG is goat anti-rabbit gamma globulin, and ARGG is anti-rabbit gamma globulin, and NRS is normal rabbit serum. So let's go back again and to pick this story up from page 105. So I'm going back to page 105, and this is an experiment beginning to take tritiated beta-2 microglobulin and label it with iodine, I-125. And the experiment is starting with radioactive iodine. And I got the tritiated isoleucine labeled beta-2 microglobulin cells and supernatants from Byron. Presumably Byron Blue. And I tried to separate the tritiated thymidine and the iodinated material and with in the presence of increasing amounts of normal rabbit serum. Some rough curves, doubtful curves. Anyway, the precipitates were very gelatinous and not easily dispersed. Dave couldn't solubilize them even in 10% SDS, and the mention of chloral hydrate in 80% formic, which was Byron Ballou's method. And so I'm not surprised that Byron is in this. He was a great fan of chloral hydrate. A conclusion on June 25th is that non-specific effects are very large and increase with the amount of normal rabbit serum this is anti 2, beta 2, beta 2M, etc., etc., problems. Continuing to try to clean this up, and on June 25th, with a comment clear from a typical MDP result that all the I-125 beta 2 microglobulin counts are not bindable. So it's not very good. Continuing with that sort of a comment on page 117, clear that anti-2-beta microglobulin is much diluted or otherwise odd. No precipitate with anti-rabbit gamma globulin at any of the dilutions, but progressively greater as expected with normal rabbit serum. Must have better material available, and so on and so forth. Re-titrating the anti-beta 2 microglobulin with anti-rabbit gamma globulin on page 119. Centrifuge and photograph, can't see anything. And repeat of the titrations, all look about the same. Monday, July the 1st, 1/5 of the anti-rabbit gamma globulin is approximately equivalent to 1/20 anti-beta 2 or normal rabbit serum. Images of precipitates in the tube are quite easy to see in the images and in the interpretation of the images on 121. So continuing to try to label the material on the following pages, attempt to check the H115 failure, and with the conclusion, discarded this tube of anti-serum. Retrying isoleucine label, Tuesday, July 2nd. Wednesday, July 3rd, a repeat of the H127 experiment, something wrong, etc. Main trouble, too few counts. Rather entertaining mark on the top of page 133, Thursday, July 4th. Ah, I see what it is. It's talking about the firework display on the 4th. A little diagram, a little image of a firework display. The experiment was a trial of the sucrose cushion, etc. And I'm testing it on Friday. Getting a little bit better. Friday, July 5th, conclusion, the recovery is better, but the cleanliness is worse at 2x. Continue with Byron's beta 2 microglobulin labeled with isoleucine. And titration of the anti-rabbit of anti-rabbit gamma globulin, in parentheses anti-rabbit FC, perhaps that means anti-rabbit constant region FC. Yeah, this is goat. This is goat anti-rabbit F, subscript C, unabsorbed, but decomplemented from Dikong about July 1st. So an ARFC is anti-rabbit FC fraction. Continuing in this general way with page 146, rechecked for chloral hydrate. Dissolving material in chloral hydrate. And then on the next page, Tuesday, August 20th, page 149, the heading of the page is chloral hydrate again, with a note that it can have 10% volume over volume of chloroform in place of 10% water if desired, etc. So this is a chloral hydrate gel with ammonium formate, and made to pH 3.5 to 7 with formic acid. And then I'm making a polyacrylamide gel, because acrylamide is added and bisacrylamide, which can be kept for several weeks at minus 20. And longer at minus 80. H2O on the opposite page, hydrogen peroxide method to get polymerization in less than or equal to 2 minutes for a stacking gel. There's a formula for a stacking gel, etc., and tray buffers. So, making a chlorohydrate gel. And testing on page 151 with a comment that this was a starch gel system, and the starch dissolves chlorohydrate. It dissolves the starch gel. And autoradiographs of to calibrate the I-125 label. And set up a complicated test of different films with X-ray in the pack, 3,000 in the pack, and Polaroid 3,000 in the pack, and Saran and test paper, etc. Quite complicated stack to try to extract some information out of it. And the conclusion of this rather complicated experiment was even though PAC can expect to detect 1 to 2,000 counts per minute per band overnight, perhaps half this if direct contact. Polaroid 3,000 is no good. Film packs.
Only one cage with five males. Film packs attenuate quite appreciably.
Polaroid better from opposite side from usual.
About January 1, 05 or whatever.
So a rather complicated attempt to get to labeling patterns. And the bookends with I-125 labeling with chloramine T method there. And so that answered the question about how the I-125 was used, which I'd forgotten. I-125 and one with chloramine T and the other with lactoperoxidase to label protein with 125 iodine. And that's the end of this book.